Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Village Farms International Announces First Quarter 2016 Results Conference Call. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for the operator. This call is being recorded on Thursday, May 12, 2016, and I would now like to turn the conference over to Steve Ruffini, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Before we formally begin, I need to read our forward-looking statement disclaimer. At the onset of today's call, the company notes that our discussion today may contain certain statements that include forward-looking information. Accordingly, we refer you to the company's most recently filed MD&A under the heading Forward-Looking Statements, which, amongst other things, identifies material factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from any forward-looking information. Moreover, any forward-looking information may be based upon certain material factors or assumptions. Please refer to the company's most recently filed MD&A under the heading Forward-Looking Statements for further details. Again, thanks everyone for joining us today. We had a strong first quarter with the second best EBITDA in the last 5 years. Our results were driven by the 14% increase in our sales to $31.7 million over the prior year first quarter of $27.7 million, or a $4 million increase. The sales increase was driven by a 34% increase in our supply partner revenue, driven primarily due to the addition of the winter production from Great Northern, who is our first Ontario-based supply partner. We will be adding their 50-acre poly greenhouse volume starting in the second quarter. And as stated on prior earnings calls, the addition of Great Northern Supply will add roughly $27 million to our revenues in 2016, and it's essentially all incremental to our 2015 revenues of $142 million. While our gross margin is no longer a line item on our income statement due to IFRS rules and regulations, one can easily calculate the figure, which was $5.1 million for the first quarter of 2016. Our rolling 12-month gross margin as of March 31, 2016 was $16 million, or 11% of our rolling 12-month revenues of $146 million. Due to the seasonality of pricing in our industry, it is best to look at our profit percentages using 12-month increments. Our rolling 12-month gross margin percentage of 11% compares favorably to our gross margin percentage for calendar year 2015 and 14, which were 9.7% and 10.2% respectively, so the positive trend in our gross margin. Our EBITDA for the quarter of $3.7 million was an 84% increase over our first quarter of 2001 figure of $2 million. This was driven by the improved gross margin, which was a function of better pricing, higher volumes, and lower production costs at our own facilities in Q1 2016 versus Q1 of 15. Our rolling 12-month EBITDA is just shy of $12 million, or 8.2% of our rolling 12-month revenues, which is trending positively to our EBITDA margins of 7.2% and 6.4% for calendar years 2015 and 14. The bioasset impact on our Q1 income statement of negative $1.8 million looks worse than the prior year impact of negative $800,000. But this is a function of starting with a higher bioasset value on January 1st, 2016 versus January 1st, 2015. As stated on prior earnings calls, one should look at the bioasset value on our balance sheet, compare that to the prior year similar quarter's end. To do that, one really needs to look at the full financial statement, note 5, in this quarter. Our bioasset value on March 31st, 2016 was $7.2 million. For newer callers or followers of Village Farms, the bioasset is an IFRS function of measuring your value of fruit on the vine on each reporting date. So it's a function of taking the first 4 to 6 weeks of volume and pricing, which we actually know by our reporting date, and doing the calculation. So it's an early indicator of the following quarter's results. So comparing the $7.2 million to the March 31st, 2015 figure, the bioasset, which was $7 million. So on the surface, that tells the reader that the early Q2 16 is tracking very closely to Q2 2015. With the addition of Great Northern, we have increased our staffing in advance of the big push in volume in Q2 and Q3, which is reflected by the $500,000 increase in SG&A costs on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Internally, we measure SG&A as a percentage of revenue. So for Q1 2016, SG&A was 10.8% of revenue versus prior year. It was 10.6% of revenue, so a very small marginal increase. Our balance sheet ratios continue to improve. As stated in March, we have extended our long-term debt facility with Farm Credit of Canada to May 1st, 2021, so 5 years, and are in the final stages of completing a 5-year extension of our operating facility with BMO. Our net debt at March 31st, 2016 of $46.6 million results in a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 3.9 times, so under 4 times for the first time since our hailstorm issues back in 2012. We continue to plan on working on this figure down to get it under 3 times by year end, which will put us in an excellent position to act on our internal development slate and or provide opportunity if and when any consolidation opportunities were to arise. With that, I will turn it over to Mike DiGiulio for comments, and then after he's completed, we'll take some questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning. My comments will be very brief today, but I'll be glad to answer any questions along with Steve. As I mentioned in the release, we are off to a good start for FY16, in line with the guidance we previously stated. Industry stats remain positive over the last quarter and trailing 12 months in key categories, with greenhouse tomatoes up 7.6% in volume, 8.8% in dollars for the last 13 weeks, while field tomatoes, once again in the last quarter and last year, are negative in volume. So continued cannibalization of the field tomatoes from greenhouse tomatoes. For the same period, 52 weeks ending April 2nd, 2016, greenhouse volumes for the year up 4.2% and 5.7% in dollars over the previous year. Similarly, in greenhouse cubes, we saw a nice rise for the 13 weeks. For the 52 weeks ending April 2nd, there was actually over a 10% increase in volume and 8.3% in dollars. And peppers were very strong, with strong double-digit growth, both in 13 and year-end, even as high as 20%. So those numbers continue to support growth in the categories that we are currently marketing products in. Second quarter pricing is as expected. Capacity is high across Canada, U.S., but we're on track at the almost halfway point for the quarter. Our new product launches are well-received, tracking nicely both with existing and new customers that have come on board Village Farms brand this past 6 months. As I stated, we have a number of initiatives that we continue to work on that we're excited about, including further expansion of our ready-to-eat launch, our first one that we recently launched that we're getting some good traction on. And with that, we are happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press star followed by the one on your touch-tone phone. Should you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star followed by two. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question is from Mike Maloof from Craig-Hallum Capital Group. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks for taking my questions, and nice job this quarter.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
I'm wondering if you – I have a couple of questions. First off, can you talk a little bit more about some of the distribution opportunities over the next couple of years? Like, how big could this end up being for you guys?
Well, I think, you know, we're tracking sort of the, you know, if you look maybe over the last 20, 25 years, you know, since the 80s, the greenhouse category in the retail sector has gone from less than 1% to probably in the 70% range, as we mentioned on earlier calls. Not everybody reports it to Nielsen, but even as high as 80% in retail. And on a lot of these categories, tomatoes, for example, fresh tomatoes represent about 50% retail, 50% food service. In looking at the food service category, which is equally, as I mentioned, at large, in the last decade, there's clearly movement, not just, we believe, in the high-end white tablecloth segment, but across the board. More and more, I think, food chains and other food service providers need to get on board with traceability and other food safety factors that the retail food chains have implemented over the last 5 years. And again, we see, you know, foodborne illness, 3,000 people dead a year, hundreds of thousands sick. I mean, it's resonating with consumers today. So I think there's a great possibility for us to enter that segment on food service. Some of the varieties we grow may be different. The actual platform, the greenhouse platform, may have to be different. Clearly, cost has to be driven down, but I think it's some great potential and could double the potential in the current greenhouse markets. Now, also, I think there's going to be a continued migration in the next decade of other crops that traditionally would not be looked at in controlled ag that will make that movement. Again, for resource allocations like water, labor. So getting to a year-round growth platform indoors, I think, is going to be a huge catalyst going forward. And that just really becomes a parabolic growth factor if those things continue.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And then, you know, this is kind of an off-the-wall question, but I had a guy who was at Disney World and said that you guys were actually in the food service side. Do you have a contract with those guys now? And if so, how long has that been going on, and how big a deal could that be for you as you expand, you know, those types of agreements?
Well, the answer is yes, that is true. I'm not going to elaborate on contractual issues or the volumes, but that's been an ongoing project for us, and we haven't published anything on that. So since you're asking a question, I'll answer it. We are in Disney World. It is with our first ready-to-eat snacking pack. It was a big, monumental undertaking over a couple years, and you know, we're feeling good about the future there. That's all I can really say at this point.
Okay, well, congrats on that, and that's all I have. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have any questions, please press star followed by one. There appear to be no further questions at this time. You may proceed.
All right. Well, we thank you for joining our call today and look forward to reporting on the remaining quarters this year.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating, and we ask that you please disconnect your lines.